Hi, this is Dr. Toni Cooper, and this is Life Without Baggage. In this podcast, I'll help you develop a stronger sense of self, develop firmer boundaries, and also learn how to lean into the gentle promptings of the Holy Spirit, who can help you navigate life. I have dozens of bonus videos posted that will help you in these areas and also will help you develop stronger coping skills. In each of the program notes, there's a link where you can request a free digital book, Understanding Your Dreams, where you can find my other media, and also where you can find my books on Amazon. Just a reminder before we get into today's episode that this is not a substitute for medication or counseling. If you're having thoughts of harming yourself or another person, or if this material triggers you, please contact your doctor or a mental health specialist to help you with your concerns. Now here's today's episode. Welcome to this week's episode of Life Without Baggage. I'm in the series on sharpening your coping skills. And today I'm going to be looking at an aspect of perfectionism. Actually, over the next few weeks, I'm going to be looking at perfectionism, what it is. I have a quiz for you so you can determine how strong any perfectionistic tendencies you have actually are. Many people don't think they're a perfectionist, but they actually have a lot of tendencies that they don't recognize. So today I'm going to talk about what it is, what it isn't, how it develops, and the quiz. Then I'm going to have an episode on looking at how these perfectionistic tendencies actually spill over and contaminate how we view God, how we think God views us, and how it interferes with us enjoying our connection to the Lord and drawing on His peace. Then, of course, I'll have a segment, a third episode that will help you reduce and soften those perfectionistic tendencies. You want to keep the ones that work for you, and then we want to soften the ones that work against you. So before we get into today's episode, if you have any questions that you would like me to cover, or if you just want to give me feedback, feel free to do that. I hope you'll send me a question or some feedback. And if you don't already follow or subscribe to my channel, whatever your platform allows you to do, would appreciate if you would do that for me, and I get a sense of who's listening and where they are. Also, I'm still offering the ebook on Understanding Your Dreams. So if you'd like a copy, it's free. It's an ebook, and it explains the three sources of dreams, keys to unlock the meaning, symbols in your dreams, and then some principles to help you determine whether or not a dream might be from God. So let's get into today's episode. So I always like to start with the quiz. So I'm going to read the questions. I have 12. And be as honest as you can. Don't give it too much thought. Yes or no. That's really kind of it. I'm never quite satisfied with myself. Yes or no. Number two, I often think I could have done better. Number three, I often think I am my own worst enemy. Number four, it's important that I do my very best and consistently excel. Number five, I often feel guilt that I'm not doing a good enough job at work or for my loved ones. Number six, I often worry that people think I'm not doing a good job. Number seven, I often think that God is disappointed in me. Number eight, people tell me that I'm a perfectionist. Number nine, I often have trouble taking time to relax. Number 10, I feel ashamed or angry with myself when I make a mistake. Number 11, it's hard for me to accept a compliment. I don't feel like I deserve it. And number 12, I'm often afraid that I'm turning my kids into a perfectionist. So needless to say, there's no score on this. There's no diagnosis of perfectionism. But the more you said yes, the stronger your perfectionistic tendencies are. And then, you know, Everybody has a few of them, but the more you have, the more likely that it is interfering with your enjoyment of life, your ability to enjoy healthy confidence, and that you're maybe making life more difficult for yourself than you need to. So now that you've taken the quiz, I'm going to read to you a definition from the Oxford Dictionary of what they say perfectionism is. Okay, so the Oxford Language Dictionary says that perfectionism is basically a belief that religious or moral perfection is attainable, especially that human moral or spiritual perfection should be or has been attained. That's a little scary if you think you've already attained it, isn't it? I always think when I hear someone on TV say that they've reached the point where they don't sin anymore, like, well, the Bible doesn't teach that. And I often want to say, and what does your partner say? Or what does your kid say? Like, that would clear that up right away, wouldn't it? Okay. So anyway, a little bit of humor before we get started. So I'm going to read some passages for you out of my latest book called Anxiety, Depression, and Helplessness, Keys to Break Free. I have a chapter on perfectionism, so I'm going to hit some points out of that today. Many people have perfectionistic tendencies and expectations, but they don't recognize. That was the reason for the quiz. Many of these tendencies are internal. That is what we expect from ourselves, as opposed to the degree of external focus we have on how our desk or car or home or apartment looks like. That's where people get confused. They think it's external, but it can operate pretty intensely on an internal basis. When we understand the origins of a behavior, sometimes it's easier to change. So if you grew up where there was too little validation or too much pressure, if there was a critical parent or coach or teacher or family member, then there can create a situation where we try to be perfect to avoid criticism. Also, firstborn children are likely to have perfectionistic tendencies. This is because when you're one of the kids, you tend to look to the older sibling of how to do things, how to learn things. But when you're the firstborn, you're looking to the adults for your guidance of how to do things. So right off the bat there's a little bit more of a gap between what you can do and what everybody else seems to be doing. Now, some people will withdraw if they're really self-critical, but many people just push themselves harder. They need to prove to themselves and other people, but especially to themselves, that they're good enough, that they're of value. And as a result, they're never satisfied with themselves or their accomplishments, because if you're not satisfied with yourself internally, no amount of external validation can really fix that. It has to be changed in the way we think. Now, the good thing about perfectionistic tendencies is it will help you succeed. You will excel most likely in the things that you decide to do. So there are good things about it. Now, if we contrast what the ideal family environment would be, what would help us be perfectly balanced? Now, obviously, nobody gets that. But we could be perfectly balanced, I suppose, in a world where each child is validated as a unique person, where there's a sense of acceptance and belonging that's separate from your performance, that when things happen to you, that whoever's taking care of you is responsive, that when you do little things, when you, you know, learn how to hit a ball, when you're making progress, you're celebrated, that validation isn't withheld until you're perfect, but you're celebrated as you make progress. If that's done for you growing up, then you're better at doing it for yourself. But if you have to earn approval, then you probably don't give yourself validation as you're learning to do things. I use the example of myself all the time, that I'm a firstborn, if that surprises you. And when I'm learning something new, I'm really motivated to do it well, but I'm very critical of myself while I'm doing it. So other people, like I'm learning to play pickleball, I talk about that almost every week, that other people may think I'm doing well, but if I don't play well, if I miss shots that I think I should have gotten, there's that word should, then I'm frustrated with myself instead of just being able to enjoy the game. So getting better at enjoying things for the sake of doing them, I've made a lot of progress on that. But it's still a tendency I have to work with. So back to the ideal family environment. So when you're praised for your strengths, when you're quickly forgiven for mistakes, when you're loved and validated separate from your performance, and when the limits and consequences for mistakes are reasonable, then there's more balance in being able to excel, but also being patient with yourself in the process. So again, that tends to be harder for firstborn children, and depending on what other circumstances you had going on in your life, it can be more of a challenge. So what does the internal dialogue, this self-talk, sound like if you have these perfectionistic tendencies? So this is from page 82. I'm not trying hard enough. I'm not good enough. I need to do better. So those are the things that the questions in the quiz sort of tapped into. What do you really believe about yourself? One of the interesting things about perfectionism is it is rewarded. And so things that are rewarded can be harder to change. It's kind of like if you gamble, and you don't usually gamble, and you win with your lottery ticket or a slot machine or something, and you win early. That's a reward. And so that tends to invite more behavior. So when we're rewarded for things, and it doesn't have to be every time, it can just be sometimes. So this is where, if you're rewarded for being a workaholic, if you're rewarded, complimented for being a perfectionist, your house always looks immaculate, that is a reward for perfectionism. And so it's harder to unlearn things that we're being rewarded for. And then you add that with the internal dialogue of this place is filthy, when maybe there's just a tiny bit of clutter, that those expectations and demands that we internally place on ourselves and we drive ourselves to perform, this may actually be rewarded when other people notice what our car looks like, what our house looks like, how our clothes look, if our hair is perfect. So those kinds of things. So that kind of keeps that vicious cycle going. But one of the questions on the quiz did ask, do other people say that you're a perfectionist? Because if other people think you are, you probably have at least a couple very strong tendencies. Now, sometimes people are just hard on themselves and they're not hard on others. And so it isn't automatically like expected of other people. It can. And so when I do the episode on how to soften perfectionism, I'll talk about perfectionism, criticism aimed at yourself, and the perfectionism with other people. But most people, it seems like it's mostly aimed at themselves. So if you're aware of it in yourself and start to modulate that, it can have benefits all the way around. So perfectionism shows up in different ways with different people, but you can see how people can easily become workaholics, overly driven to achieve, have to get an A on everything, unduly focused on pleasing others to prove their worth, to avoid their fear of criticism. Whether or not they would really get the criticism, there can be a fear of criticism. It's very hard for them to just sit still and relax because that might feel lazy to them. and their value and worth tends to be measured through their own achievement, their own appearance, their own status, or the amount of approval they're getting at any given moment. And then it kind of starts over every day. So that's a kind of a vicious cycle to be trapped in if you have a lot of those tendencies. So to kind of summarize, we tend to internalize the attitudes and expectations that we grew up with, whether it's from a harsh teacher, a sibling, a parent, a coach. If there were things about us that we felt like we needed to compensate for, if you grew up in a place where you were in the minority and you felt like you always had to prove your value and worth, even if you felt accepted at home, there are so many different things that can play a part in creating that harsh internal critic. And then we perpetuate those things in the way that we think, in the way that we talk to ourselves. And so in order to change that, we have to address that inner critic, that self-talk. So in the next episode, I'll be looking at how these perfectionistic tendencies can spill over and contaminate our ability to feel loved, valued, forgiven by God, as well as people. So let me pray a blessing for you as we wind up today. So Lord, I thank you that it says in your word that you don't give us a spirit of religious duty. You don't want us to live in that fear of never being good enough, but you give us your spirit. Your spirit is full of acceptance, that you enfold us into the family of God through Jesus Christ. You tell us in Romans 8:15. So I thank you, Lord, and I pray that you would help this listener to receive the forgiveness and the acceptance that you have for them, and that they would be able to extend that grace to themselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is Dr. Toni Cooper, and this is Life Without Baggage. Thanks for listening. And if this helped you, share it with a friend.